Father, we pray for your grace, for your blessing, Holy Spirit, for your ministry today with us. Apart from you, we can do nothing, Lord. So we ask that you will richly and greatly bless us during this time. Father, may our worship, may our hearts be acceptable to you at this time. We give you this time, Holy Spirit. You are our Lord. You are our King. Thank you. Thank you that you've rescued us and you've brought us near. Without you, we would have nothing. Without the blood of Jesus, where would we be? We are so grateful. Open the word to us. Open our eyes and our hearts today to hear, to see, to understand, and Lord, to rejoice. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, good morning, and good morning, young guys and girls. How are you? Good. So we're doing something a little bit different today. Do you know what we're doing? Do you have any idea? We'll do something just a little bit different to start off with. And we wanted to invite the young people to be part of church with us before going out. Now, if you like, do you guys want to sit just over here? I'm going to do something on this table. And you know, dear? I'm going to do something on this table. Now, just before we begin, there's just a little rule that everyone has to agree to follow, and that is that you don't come near to the table to touch what's on the table. Does everyone agree? Everyone agree? So you can sit, but you can't come and touch. All right, so if everyone wants to come sit from about here. That's it. Very good. All right, have a few things that I'm just going to put up here. What do you think we're going to talk about today? Baptizing, maybe? Is that because you saw the water? That's very clever. We're going to talk about Jesus. Yes, praise the Lord. All right. I want you to meet Alex. This is Alex. This. You look a bit, does it look funny? All right, let me get some things here. Have some legs. Maybe if you give Alex some legs, would that be better? Yeah. All right, give Alex some legs. All right, I'll put the legs here. Is that better? Yeah? Yeah, it still looks a bit funny? Yeah, what's missing? Hands and arms. All right. Let me put them on. You guys are clever, aren't you? You know what we're all supposed to have. All right. Here's one arm. Put it there. Got one more arm. Where does the other arm go? Down here? Not there? Put it over here? Like a bit like this? All right. I'll put the other arm here. Better? Yeah, a bit better. Still looks funny. Well, it might look a little bit funny even when I give him his head because I'm not a very good drawer. All right, but this is the best head I can do. See, I'm not like God. God can make us all good. Do you want to just grab a seat? You want to go sit with Adrian? All right. How's that? Does that look a bit more like Alex? Little bit. All right. Now, this is Alex, and Alex is a young person like you. doesn't look like you know exactly. But he's young and he was born into this world, and you've seen how Elgin's got a belly and God makes us and creates us. We look better than this. And Alex likes to do things like you like. He likes to play. You guys like to play? You don't like to play? Alex likes to eat. You like to eat? Nice foods? Yeah, your mum makes nice food. Maybe your dad makes nice food. And do you know something else about Alex? Sometimes he does good things, and sometimes he does bad things. Do you know people who sometimes do good things and sometimes do bad things? Yes. All right. Now, I'm just going to... What's this? No, it's all right. I'll show you. Now, when God makes us, he gives us his life, and he pours his life into us. No one else can do it. You know they can't make robots like humans? They can't, can they? But God can make us, and he pours his life into us. And you notice something. When we come into the world, there's a certain cleanness about us. Fill him up a little bit more. What, you think he's full? Too full? A little bit more maybe? What? You think he'll overflow? All right, I'll stop there. You don't want him to overflow. Now, do boys and girls sometimes do things that don't please God? Is it true? Yes. Adults as well, that's right. That's very clever. Now, when we do something that doesn't please God, what does the Bible call it? It's called sin, that's right. Sin's bad. Who knows that sin is bad? Sin is bad. And the Bible says that sin can ultimately mean we die. It's not good. Sin is not good. And sin, you know, sometimes people do some sins. What are some sins that people do? Let's think of boys and girls. What are some sins that they do? Yes, can you think of one? Misbehaving? Can you give me an example? Not honoring your parents. That's right. What's something else? Smoking? Yes, little children smoking. That's not very good. Yes. Not listening to your teacher. Telling lies. Very good. What's something else that God doesn't like? Not being nice. How are people not nice sometimes? Being mean to people. That's right. That's not nice. Something? Not worshiping God. Yep. Fighting. Yeah. Do you know young people that fight? Yeah. I've seen young people fight. That's not nice, is it? When we do these things, the Bible calls it sin, and there's lots of sins. Stealing. Sometimes people see something that's not theirs and they think, I really want that. And it looks all nice and shiny and they think, ooh, that would be really nice if it's mine. But if you take something that's not yours, it's stealing. And you can get sin into your life. But you know, if someone had a nice little car and you said, oh, I really want that little toy car, and you stole it, do you think you'd look any different? You'd just have this little car, wouldn't you? Now, I know you would steal, but there are some people that do. And when they do that, and they steal, who sees it? Who sees it when people steal? Yes. God sees. That's right. And this stuff that is shiny and it looks like gold, sometimes you have to be careful. Yes, oh no. This represents sin. And sometimes sin looks like that'll be fun. It'll be nice to have that toy. And what happens is, if someone was to steal, look at that little drop, sin going in. And if someone was to lie, another little drop. And if people were to be doing sinning over and over again, eventually You see, sin just ends up like this big container. Do you know, we've done lots of things wrong, all of us. Adults, boys and girls. And sometimes when we do these things, we look the same. But God looks at us and God sees that we look different. Do you want to know how we look different? When we sin, watch what happens to us on the inside. When we put sin into our life, it changes us on the inside. And once we were clean, but then all this sin gets in. And it goes throughout us. Now this is on the inside, and God sees us on the inside. So what do we do? What happens if we get sin into our life? What do we do? That's very good. And why can God forgive us? Why can God forgive us? Something very, very special happened. And we sing about him a lot. And we thank God for what happened. Who remembers Jesus died on the cross? Yes. And he died on the cross so God could forgive us. And God said that the blood of Jesus will take away our sin. Now, how am I going to get all this sin out of this water? I can't. If I pour it out, then Alex is no longer alive, because this is the life of God. So how do we clean this dirty water? Have you ever seen it when your parents wash dishes and the water's dirty in the sink? What does your mum do? Pulls the plug out and the dirty water goes and she puts clean water in. But we can't do that, because then Alex will go. That's right. So no one can clean the water themselves. We don't know how to do that. Only God can. And God said that he would. Jesus died on the cross so that our sin could be washed away. Now, Alex has a friend, and his friend goes to church like you. And one day, the friend said to Alex, "Alex, do you know that Jesus will forgive you your sins?" And Alex said, "Really?" He said, "How do I do that?" And his friend said, "If you ask God to forgive you, and if you say that I believe Jesus died on the cross in my place, then God will cleanse you of sin." And guess what Alex said? He said, "That sounds really good. I'd like that to happen." So he prayed, and he said, "Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me my sins and to cleanse me. Make me clean by the blood of Jesus." And guess what God did? Yes. When Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood, it's not exactly dark red, is it? But this was meant to be the blood of Jesus. And God looked at Alex and he heard Alex's prayer. And he said, "The blood of Jesus that was shed for your sin, I'm going to put on your life. And I'm going to do something." Now, what happens if you mix these colors together? Have you done painting? Yeah. You mix colors together, they'll go darker sometimes you add these. But see, God does something very special. That's right, because this is meant to be the blood of Jesus. And when we add the blood of Jesus, what happens to the sin? Where's it gone? Well, yes, it is spinning around. But can you see? Does this look like Alex before he sinned? It does. I think it does. It does. It was very dark before. It's very important when we're young and when we're old that we ask God to forgive us our sins. We might not look any different on the outside, but God sees us on the inside. And you know, every single time you ask God to forgive you, do you know what he'll do? He'll cleanse you. And that's exactly what the scripture says. 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is that good? How many of you guys want to live a life where you're cleansed and made clean? How many? I do. That's good. That's a very good thing to do. Now, do you know what we're going to do right now? We're going to spend a moment praying. And I'm going to ask that you go and find, in just a minute, that you go and find your parents and you sit with them. And your parents are going to say to you, do you want to pray to have Jesus' blood cleanse you and wash away your sin? And if you want to do that, then your parents will pray with you. They'll probably lead you in a prayer. Okay? So, would you like to stand up and go find your parents? And parents, let's just take a moment to pray and bless our kids. If you're here and you just want to take a moment to pray with a friend, let's do that. We're just going to spend a minute or so. Kids are great, aren't they? I'm looking forward to it. Praise the Lord. Okay, we're going to continue on. And we're going to also continue looking at this, but going just a little bit further. We're going to talk about sanctification. One of the questions the kids didn't ask today that they may ask in the future is, I've prayed and gotten saved. But then sometimes there's still areas in my life that aren't quite right. How does that work? Okay, and so we want to look at this thing called sanctification. And let me begin by looking at a couple of scriptures. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. You can turn to it if you want. It says, but we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation. Through what? Through sanctification. Now, this is not a strange thing. It's not a different thing to being saved through Jesus. It's actually all part of what Jesus did. When you look into these things, you see Jesus was our propitiation. He was our redemption. Jesus was our substitute. He was all these words, and they all mean things like he took the wrath so we wouldn't mean it. He was the purchase price to buy us back. And God has this thing he wants us to know that we all know because we know this word very well. Although sometimes we don't know it as the word sanctification, which is why I put the Greek word in there, hagiosmos. So, God has chosen us from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. Okay, hagiosmos. It occurs 10 times in the King James Bible. It's translated as holiness 5 times. We all know this, so we know this is not a new thing. And it's translated as sanctification. It talks about consecration and purification, or the effect of it, and its sanctification of the heart and life. So, a dictionary says, the process by which an entity is brought into relationship with or attains the likeness of the holy. This is a basic that we all know. God wants us to become like who? Like him, like Jesus, to transform. Okay, and we see in Hebrews 12:14, pursue peace with all people and holiness. It's the same word, hagiosmos, without which no one will see the Lord. Holiness, sanctification, consecration is a very important thing. One of the things about it in sanctification, when we read that in the Bible, is it's presented in three states or three tenses. On one hand, it happened. we are sanctified. The Bible also gives scriptures that say we're being sanctified. And the Bible also gives scriptures that say we will be sanctified. So how does that work? In the first one, we're going to look at the one sense where it's done. You and I have been made holy. 1 Corinthians 1:2. When Paul writes to the church there, he says to the church which is of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. That's a done tense. That's a past thing. You are sanctified. You are in Australia. Called to be saints with all who are in every place. Called in the name of the Lord, of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Okay, so in that scripture we see we are sanctified. Hebrews 10:10. By that will, we have been sanctified, past tense. We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, but you, what? What does it say? You were washed. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So sanctification is presented here as a past tense thing. Okay, next one. The second one, which is about becoming holy. Talks about a process. 2 Corinthians 3:18. We've looked at this not so long ago, but it talks about how all of us, beholding in it as in a mirror, think of that in the morning when you get up, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of God. It means you're spending your time focused on God. You're looking at God. And not just that you're looking at God, when you look in a mirror, what do you see? You see yourself. Do you know, God wants you to see yourself in His image. And this is why I know our pastors, and I know the stand that's taken that says we have to talk about ourselves the way God talks about ourselves. Jesus paid an incredible price, so we don't go around dressing ourselves down. The enemy wants to condemn us and write us down and put us into the prison of the past and the things that have been done wrong. What a price Jesus has paid. And God says, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we're being transformed into that same image from glory to glory by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of the Lord. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The reason I want to draw a difference between the different states is because if we were sanctified, as the Bible says, you were sanctified, some of you were this, but you were washed, why does the Bible continue to talk about us growing in holiness? Okay, so it's something that we have to understand. 1 John 3:3, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Okay, so there is definitely a scriptural presentation that says there is a present activity of growing in holiness, being transformed to be like God. All of these things are about our sanctification. And in the future, we will be completely holy. Philippians 3:20 to 21. I mean, this is amazing. I don't know if you ever stop and just have a quiet time and meditate on this sort of thing. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. Our new bodies are not going to get sick, are they? No. Our new bodies are not going to suffer under age and under the breakdown of all these different things. That's right. There will be, no, of course, no swine flu. According to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. We are going to get a new body. When does that new body come? Who's got their new body with them right now? No. We don't have our new body now. Can we get our new body in this lifetime? No. But when Jesus is revealed, when we're in heaven, however you want to view it, as the rapture or as when we die, that is when the new body happens. Beloved, we are children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I beseech you, brethren, this is the response then that we do with our body in the meantime. By the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. We don't present our spirits. Why not? Because we have different things going on in us. And I wanted to do a similar illustration to what we did before. The Bible presents us. People have different views. Some people say that there are two parts to man. Some people say three. I even heard someone say four. The most widely accepted seems to be three. We are a spirit. We live in a body. We have a mind. Or some people say we have a soul, which is the realm of the emotions and the mind. Now, we know what happens in our life. There's sin. And whether you look at the body, the mind, or the spirit, when we begin, as we're talking to the kids, there's sin, right? And sin is in every part of us. It's in our body. It's in our mind. And our spirit is not alive to God. Sanctification says three things happen. There are three stages of sanctification. When we get saved, straight away, we were washed. When we pray for salvation, were we sanctified, as the scripture said? Yes, we were sanctified. What about the rest of us? I mean the rest of in me and in you. What has to happen to the rest of us? Okay, is the process of sanctification finished? No. And if you look at this person, what do you see as a predominant manifestation? You still see sin. God wants us to be transformed. Begins with salvation, but it doesn't end there. It continues, as Romans 12 says, we renew our minds. And we renew our minds to the things of God. Before we were Christian, we could all tell stories which we don't want to hear. We could recall things we don't want to recall. And that's why the scripture says, and that's what you were, but you were washed, but you were this. So we no longer go back to those things. If we continue living in those things, what do we look like? We're not sanctified. We're not becoming transformed. We're not being holy. Oh, but I prayed for salvation. Yes. But God didn't say, just pray for salvation. God wants more of us. So we have a job to do. We have to take the things of God, apply them into here, and spend the rest of our lives seeing this change to be like this. I love the analogy someone gave once. They said, if you were voting on something, now when I say you, imagine there's three parts of you. If you were voting on something, what would you choose to do? In this case, if a mind is not renewed to the things of lust, and it thinks lust is okay, what's the flesh going to say? The flesh is always going to present sin. I want sin. When will this get sanctified? Not in this life, but in heaven. But that doesn't mean we submit to it. That's why we have to put it on the altar. We don't put our mind on the altar, or else God would have said, what did God say? Be transformed by renewing your mind. Begins with salvation and the blood of Jesus that cleanses us. If our mind is not renewed to the things of God, it's probably going to side over here. And what sort of life are you going to see lived? You're going to see a life lived that is not one of holiness, not one that is glorifying God. So our mind must learn the things of God. It's a great thing to do. It's a life pursuit. It really is such an important thing to do. And I can add this in here, and I can add a bit, and you'll see it will go a bit lighter, and it will get lighter and lighter, and eventually it will become clear like this. Okay, and that's what we're to do with our life. Our body is going to be... Our body is going to present problems. And I was encouraged reading Paul write, who will deliver me from this body of sin? I see this war going on within me. I want to do this, and then part of me wants to do that. But he doesn't say, oh, I'm defeated, I can't get through this. He says, who will deliver me? And what does the scripture say? Thanks be to God through Christ Jesus. In Romans, we have a very, very good teaching. And I've talked about this with pastors. Once upon a time, we were a slave to sin. We had no choice. Sin, sin, sin. That's what we did. And then Romans tells us that we're going to be a slave to whichever master we present ourselves to. Sin leading to death. Or to righteousness, which leads to eternal life. So this flesh thing here is just going to be a problem to be dealt with. And we have victory to overcome our flesh. Flesh rises up. We have victory over our flesh. We can see the flesh crucified. If temptation comes your way, it is not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin to give in to the temptation. If temptation itself by being tempted was a sin, Jesus would have had sin when the devil tempted him. Temptation itself is not sin. Yielding to it is sin. So if the devil comes and presents something to you and you say, away in Jesus' name, praise God and well done. Okay, so that is what we must do. Where is the battle? Like we've said, if you look at your spirit, God has set your spirit right. That's why your spirit knows what to do. Your mind? Well, what do you know from the Word of God? What do you know? We all need to learn more. This battle is a continual process for our lives, which is why the devil comes to take away the what? What does the devil come to take away that was put into our life? I'm not going to tell you, because you know the answer. What is it? What does the devil take or come to steal from you? The Word. The devil comes to steal the Word from your life. Okay. We have to get that as such a strong part of our foundation and then continue to build ourselves up in the Word. But one of the problems we face today, I know all these things in the Word. And someone will say, see ya, I'm just going to go out and get drunk. I'm just going to go and meet a girl. No. What do you do with the knowledge? You must be obedient. And again, that's the battle. Where's the greatest battle in your life? Well, it actually, there's a big battlefield in your mind. That's certainly a big one. And then in actually doing things. We would look as a very peculiar people to know the Word of God and not do it. Yet, unfortunately, it has become quite common. When you read the Bible, that wasn't the case. And people who heard and didn't obey, Jesus told parables about it. Talked about their house falling down and all those sorts of things. And people think, that's crazy. Why would you build a house like that? Jesus says, that's what it's going to be like if you hear and don't obey. So your spirit is sanctified. And thank God that battle is won. And without that, that's the beginning of the battle. We're in a war. And it has these different battles as part of it. Your body will not be renewed until you meet Jesus. Is your body a living sacrifice? Until then, you need to put your flesh and its desires on the altar. It's just an ongoing battle. I've never met anyone who says, I don't have to continue to do it. And if they did, I'd like to learn what it was, because I have a lot of respect for Paul. With all his years of study and being a Pharisee, and after 20 years after getting saved, he still said, I see a war within me. But renewal, obedience, alignment to the Spirit and the things of God, and keep putting this down until the new body comes. Now you might think, well, I've read other scriptures, but look at this one. May the God of peace himself sanctify you how? Partly? Just your spirit? If you think that's the case, you're in error. You must take this in. God wants to sanctify you completely. And if you've heard otherwise, it doesn't line up with the Word of God. Because God wants your whole spirit, your soul, and your body preserved blameless. It is a deception that says, look, you can't help it. Let's take this. You can't help it. These things exist in life, and that's just until the day we die. No, don't believe that lie, because you've been set free from this. Been set free, and you don't have to obey it. Is it going to be easy? No. Has anyone ever had a really hard temptation that you went, oh, that was easy? No, because it was a hard temptation, and temptations are hard. They're battles. But prayer, faith, the same way we receive healing, the same way we receive salvation, we call to God and we say, God, give me strength. And it comes from the supplying of the Holy Spirit, and it comes from obedience to His Word. In an example where, and I know this get taught a lot at youth groups, I think it's relevant for all ages. The scripture says, it talks about with sexual immorality to do what? To flee. There are other things that happen in life, and it says resist. Now, don't get them mixed up, because God knows what this will do. That's why you don't go shopping. Have you ever gone shopping when you're hungry? You find you just buy the, oh, yeah, that's really nice. I like those crackers as well. And you buy all this food. Your body has an appetite. Anyway, your body needs to be the odd one out, not part of the majority. And it begins here. Now, there's something else. Something else I did want to talk about. These, I just have to go down just a little bit, Abraham, please. These three, would you believe me if I said they could also represent churches? Yes? No? Would you believe me if I said these could also represent churches? What do you think? For about for about 16 years, I've worked on and off at different times in churches, and been to Bible College with Jonathan. Did that for several years. Worked in pastoral care. And when you work in a church, and some of these large churches, you see different things. And sometimes you see more things than what you see when you come to church on Sunday, and even come to church Sunday and attend home group. I also have a counselling qualification, so I did that in the church. So I worked in pastoral care, and you sit and you get to know people, and I was very fortunate to spend time with pastors and got to hang around them. And when you befriend people and you go beyond Sunday and even home group, you start to learn things and see things, and sometimes things are confided in you, and you see different things in people's lives. And we know that, okay, sometimes there are people out there and they struggle, and sometimes it hits the news. Sometimes you find that pastor's no longer pastor of a church for some reason or another. Okay, it's not very good. And it's interested me over the years watching church as a dynamic. I've been on several boards in churches. I was chairman of one board. I've taught in a couple of Bible colleges. I was principal of one college. And I was on a board of a denominational board. So we oversaw churches. And when you're in those sorts of positions, you're exposed to things. You see things. And pastors come before you and before the board, and issues arise. And these aren't issues that come up on Sunday. And sometimes they're not nice. So, all of that I'm saying to you is just to say, I have seen stuff over the years. And at different times you've heard me say, I thank God for Pastor John, for the church. Because my wife and I, we would say, we traveled around, we looked for years to find a church that we believed was like this. Because in the experience and in getting to know people and befriending them and all those sorts of things, and not in any way to look down on them or judge them, but they would say all these things. And I'd say, how do you reconcile that with the Word of God? And they'd shrug their shoulders and say, well, you know, it's a bit hard. Pastor John also says it's a bit hard, but he actually does things a bit different. And I was thinking, leading up to this, I have seen a couple of things consistently in the church, two things consistently, that can change us from being a sanctified church, a holy church, to being something else. And it's often to do with the pastor. For some pastors, it's very hard. The grief and the different things overtake them, and they say, I just don't want to deal with more of these problems. So let's just turn a blind eye to these things. When that happens, and they turn a blind eye to sin, it just keeps tainting the church and making it darker. Now, people come into church, and people come into church with sin. And it's different when it's added. And I was thinking about this, and I thought, you know, you and I, we're drops in this glass. This is our church, and we are drops of water in this glass. And God gave this glass to a man to hold. It's not me. I can't hold it. But he gave this responsibility. Did he give it to anyone here? Who can hold this glass? Anyone hold this glass? You can't hold the glass. Who can hold the glass that is this church and the weight and the responsibility of everything in it? I can't hold it. With all my experience, I cannot hold this glass. Do you know why? Because God has not called me to. People have said to me sometimes, why don't you start this church? Why don't you do this and do that? If God does not call me to do it, what's going to happen? It's going to kill me. There are pastors, you spend time talking to people and they say, I was ambitious. I wanted this. I wanted my own agenda in the church. So I thought, let's organize a political party. My goodness. We cannot do that. There's one man in the church who can hold this glass. Who is it? It's our Pastor John. Hold this glass for us, as God has called you to. Let the people see it. People will still come to the church and they'll still bring sin. This is the church all around the world. What happens? Just hold it up a bit higher out to the side. I don't want to spill anyone as well. When this church is in the hands of the man called to hold it, and he is holding to the word as he is, and we come to it like I come and you come, and we have our different issues in life that sin, and we go to different churches where it's not dealt with, and it affects the church, one thing will happen. But when we come here, what happens to our sin? God will use our pastor and this place to purify us in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we know that you are holy. We know that your ways are true and right. We know that there is one way. And Father, as we have heard come up, not by accident, but twice today, Hebrews 13:17, which is again the very thing that was in my heart, that Father, you have called us to be submissive. But not just, Father, that you have called us to be submissive. And I want to read these words out while your eyes are closed. And I want you to hear these words again. And, I mean, we have not coordinated today with everyone who has spoken. None of the those extra illustrations. Now listen to these words. Let them sink into your heart. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable to you. I'm going to read it again. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable to you. Father, we thank you that you have placed us in a church where we can come, where we can be trained in righteousness. And we know, Father, it is your will that we become sanctified completely, Lord, in our spirit, in our soul, in our body. I thank you, Father, for this place. I thank you for our pastors. Father, I thank you for the blessing that they are. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we say your word will come to pass, where, Father, it will be joy, not grief. It will be submission, not rebellion. And Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, if there is anything offensive in us, Lord, then speak to us. Father, if we are excited about something, let it be submitted to your word. Father, we know you love all of us. And I pray, Father, that for as many of us who are in here, and even those who are not, Father, that every desire, every action, every activity, every plan and every purpose will be submitted before you. And everything, Lord, that is not of you will not stand in this place. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. Father, I know from my heart and my wife's heart that we have traveled and looked, and we thank God for this. And I know, Father, that as you establish and build and continue to do the work here, Father, and whatever grows in the future, if you send out and you plant churches or you do things, Father, that there will be a continued desire for holiness, that there will be, following after the pattern of the things you've done here, something that will continue far beyond and even beyond the shores of this place. Father, that it will be a blessing to your people, that your heart's desire, Lord, is that your people are sanctified completely. Father, we say that we will pay the price. We will do the hard yards. We will do the things necessary as followers and attenders and members of the church and, Lord, as leaders. Father, we will say yes and amen to your promise. We will not turn from it. Father, we will be those who bring joy, not grief, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that it pleases you when we live in accordance with your word, and we say we shall do that. And Father, we know that there are many and many and many of our brothers and sisters out there, and they're hearing different things from people. And Lord, our heart is concerned for them. Father, we pray for all our brothers and sisters who would be living a life that would be causing them harm, living a life that would be taking them away from God, living a life that would be more polluting their soul, their mind, that would cause them to live as slaves to sin. Father, we pray that you will send people across their path. We pray that you will open their eyes to see revelation of the truth. We pray that they will open the word and see scriptures and read it, and it will go deeply into their heart and transform them, that they will not be the same, Father, and that they will be set free from the yoke of slavery that the enemy has put upon them. Father, I thank you that there are, in fact, many churches around the world that are holy. There are many places and pastors around the world that hold to your word, and we believe in the name of Jesus the numbers will continue to increase. In Jesus' name, Father, this is not the last remnant, but there is a great remnant all around the world, and it will get brighter and brighter. It will not get darker and darker. The difference will be visible. And we know, Father, it is pleasing to you. We know it's according to your will and purpose. And we know that no man or woman stands up and takes glory for any of the great manifestations you do, even for the product of the people, because it's Christ at work within us. So, Father, we are not people who are such strong people that are motivated that we say, look what I did, but we say, thank you, Lord, for what you did within me. And at every step, we submit to you, Holy Spirit, and we say, you will create in us the new man, and we will not live like the old man. We will not live like the old ways. We will not think or talk like the old ways, because we've been purchased with a great price, and we have been cleansed. We have been washed. And once we were these different things, but not anymore. So, Father, continue to train us and grow us. Continue to open your word to us. Continue to set us free from sin and snares. Father, deliver us from even friends and relationships that would be bringing us down and polluting us. Father, that we would grow in holiness with you. And we pray, Father, that we would bring many people along the same path. Teach and guide us in all these things, Lord. And may your blessing, may your glory, may your providence, may your purpose be fully manifest in this place, in the lives of everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen.